Sermons from the Journey is an audio podcast of the weekly message preached by Reverend Rebecca Clark, pastor at Trinity United Methodist Church in Montpelier, Vermont, and blogging online at pastorbecca.com. Thanks for listening.
I like my nice, sweet, loving, gentle Jesus. I like my Jesus with children on his lap, telling the disciples to let those little children come to him. I like my Jesus turning in a crowd, pressing upon him to find the one person in pain who's reached out to touch him and saying, "Sister, you are healed. Go in peace." I like my Jesus, even in the throes and pain of his own death, calling out for forgiveness for those who have harmed him. I like my gentle shepherd, if you look to your left, my right, to the stained glass of our gentle shepherd, Jesus. That's how we like to think of Christ. I don't like this passage. I don't like Jesus when he's angry. It's like the Hulk. You wouldn't like him when he's angry. I don't like Jesus when he says things like, "Do you think I came to bring peace on earth?" Yes! Yes, I do! Handel said so. Prince of Peace, oh, you know, Isaiah said so, right, please? I like that. No, I did not come to bring peace, but to make people choose sides. I came to set one household against itself. I do not like this picture of Jesus. Now, as most of you know, our church hosts other ministries within our building. We all know that we have the food pantry and that that we provide at least some office space and resources for the Montpelier Home Delivery Program or the Meals on Wheels program, now in conjunction with some senior meals happening at the Senior Center in Montpelier. And what you may or may not know is that these ministries, these programs, are not outreach ministries of our church, but are operated under a separate nonprofit called Just Basics Incorporated, a nonprofit that we organized a few years ago. And I'm on the board for Just Basics. We had a board retreat recently. And at our board retreat, we meant to be talking about a dozen other things, of course, but we started talking about food justice, systems of food justice, right? Where food comes from. And particularly where the food that the food pantry has to give away comes from. Also, some reflection, some thought about where the food for the senior meals program comes from. But we actually have a lot of control over that program now, and so we're able to source a lot of that food locally and through rescued food and through better, healthier, organic food that we're able to find and to support local farmers and businesses and put it together as best we can with fresh, local, organic ingredients. But the food that's given away in the food pantry comes from a variety of sources. Yes, from some donations from some local gardens, community gardens, the farmers market overflow that farmers and merchants have. But a lot of it comes from the food bank and from donations through larger corporate entities. And we all know about food programs as government programs and what happens when government shrinks its funding because we have a tight economy and times are tough. And so it shrinks its funding and it cuts programs. It cuts funding to programs like food pantries and senior meals programs. And so as funds get tighter and tighter way up the chain, then things like the food bank or even like a distribution for a grocery store that have typically more to work with and to spend to gain food, have fewer and fewer resources for them to get food. And so they tend to go for the food they can get in bulk, really inexpensively, which is typically canned food that's high in sodium and or fat, low in nutritional value, probably kind of low on taste, although they increase the sodium, which increases the taste a little bit. Not particularly good for you. And this is the food that gets donated down the food chain, down the food system, to the most impoverished people in any given community. The worst food that we have to offer, the least expensive food that we have to offer, the least nutritional food that we have to offer goes to the people who can't afford to buy their own food, who can't afford nutrition, who can't afford health. And as time plays out and we see greater and greater instances of adult type 2 diabetes and heart conditions and cancer and all sorts of different things that we can tie to diet in many instances, we have to wonder if we have created a system whereby the most impoverished people in our community are the most likely to get sick. All because it's easier, it's cheaper, it's what works within the system. Now, I don't think I need to paint for you what happened when this group of people who feel passionately about justice and food and getting food to the people who need it most started talking about why are we seeing poorer quality and lower quantity in food donations. And we started talking about these systemic problems, and we started understanding and imagining and discussing together how and why the poorest people in our community get the worst leftover food that we have. We got angry. Not like really angry with each other, but we got really frustrated. It reminds me of that old saying, if you're not outraged, you're not paying attention. When we paid attention to this one justice issue, and folks, there are a million justice issues before us every day, when we focused our attention on just this one, we got angry. Now, where we would start to disagree, and there was not a lot of disagreement on our board within that family, if you will, but where we would start to disagree is on what to do about it. Because you turn to those larger corporate bodies who are receiving and then redistributing the donations, and they say, well, we can't do anything about it. And you turn to the people above them, and they say, we can't do anything about it. And you turn to the politicians, and they say, we can't do anything about it. You elected us. And you turn to the voters, and you say, please do something about it. And it takes all of this time, and everybody passes the responsibility to somebody else. And there's very little agreement about how we might resolve this issue. And when we disagree on that, it's because we feel passionately. Somebody comes up with an idea and says, okay, we need to organize all the food pantries in Vermont or all the food pantries in central Vermont so that we can, as a co-op, buy better food for the people who need it. And somebody else says, no, we need to do community activism. We need to shake up the political system because it's really about the government funding and we need to focus our energy and attention there. But we're passionate about what's going on. The other option is to be complacent about that, is to just ignore it, to not be outraged. We can simply not pay attention. And we can decide that we're okay. We're okay with the fact that the people in greatest need of nutrition are the least likely to receive it. We're okay with the fact that beggars can't be choosers, as the saying goes, and so folks are lucky to get what they get. We're okay with the fact that we have enough to eat and we have some extra money so that we could buy perhaps some better food to eat. And because we and our families are taken care of, we're okay with that. I have come to set the earth on fire, Jesus says. And I wish it were already ablaze. I wish that fire were already kindled. I imagine Jesus encountering the injustices of his day, and there were many. They weren't really, in the vast scheme of things, sometimes they seem worse, sometimes they seem better, sometimes they're about the same. The point is they were the injustices of his day, and we have the injustices of our day. And in the face of these injustices, quite often, he found complacency. He found complacency on the parts of people who were comfortable with things the way they were. As long as the Romans weren't knocking down their door to crucify them, they were okay. As long as they could observe their faith in whatever kind of hybrid way they made up so that they didn't get in trouble with somebody else, they were okay. And when he turned to the religious leaders and the temporal leaders of his day and asked them to make changes, they were okay with the power that had been handed to them. And nobody seemed to burn with the passion, with the anger at the injustice. And so I begin to, difficult as this passage is, resonate with it a little bit. Sometimes we get too comfortable. And we get too locked into the way we do things. We get too comfortable with the system around us. We get too comfortable with our church and our way of living out faith. And we're content to just kind of sit and go about our business and be in our comfortable areas, our comfort zones. We don't like to rock the boat. We follow all the rules, like don't talk about religion or politics or sexuality at the dinner table. Anybody have that family rule, right? It's to keep from causing family division. Nothing causes division faster than one of those topics. Why? Because we feel passionately about these things. We feel passionately about them, and so they cause tension and division. And yet when it comes to where change is needed, those tend to be a lot of the places where change is needed. It also tends to get me in trouble because those are the things I like to talk about a lot. So, you know, we end up having some division from time to time in dinner tables where I sit. Now nobody's going to invite me over. I know. That's all right. Even within our church, when we talk about what ministries to do and to equip and to support, because we can't do everything, right? We can't do everything. And we all feel passionately, I hope, we all feel passionately about doing God's work in the world. If we don't feel passionately and we just want to sit, then we hear Jesus' frustration. I've come to set fire in your bellies. I've come to fire you up, to light fire under your backsides and get you to do stuff. And I wish that fire were blazing. But when we do feel passionately, then we are likely to disagree. I think the best use of our resources is over here. I think the best use of our resources is over there. We should protect some capital so that we have it for the long term. We should purchase a parsonage so that we have reduction in our annual expenses. We should fund a new outreach ministry so that we can spread the word and gather more people into our community and equip and empower our ministry even better. And those are all good ideas, and we are trying to do all of those things simultaneously. And then when there are more ideas added on top of that and more ministries and programs about which people feel passionate, it can cause division and disagreement. But I have to say that if we're arguing, lovingly, I hope, if we're divided, but on things like how do we live out God's call, that we are at least on the right track. We've allowed fire to be kindled in our bellies. We've let ourselves be passionate. The worst thing I think we can do is to sit in complacency in the face of injustice or in the face of a call from God to live out our ministry. To just sit calmly without any fire burning within us, without any passion in our hearts, does not serve Christ. No matter how beautiful our praise, no matter how heartfelt our prayers, no matter how deep our love and compassion for one another, if we do not have the passion and conviction to live out that call, then perhaps we need to hear those stories about Jesus where he's not a gentle shepherd or the nice person who wants the children to sit on his knee or the compassionate healer or the ever-forgiving, suffering servant. But we need to be reminded from time to time of the Jesus who gets frustrated, the Jesus who has come to set the world on fire, has come to see us set ablaze with passion for God's justice. Oh, that we may be shaken from our complacency, that we may be paying attention enough to be outraged at the injustices around us, that we may be impassioned enough to burn in our hearts, to burn for the injustice and suffering of others, and to act. God, shake us from our complacency and set us ablaze in the world. Amen.